When it comes to our relationships in life, we all like to be liked. We all like to fit in. But sometimes, you know, inevitably, we might be the oddball, the strange person, the outcast. And we know from the Scriptures, anyone who lives the Christian life, if we live the faithful, devoted Christian life, we don't make compromises with the truth, that most certainly we will become viewed as, you know, such people. But as God's people, we know that it is to be expected that we will face that kind of opposition, hostilities, even persecutions, rejection, ridicule. But it's something we have to have the mindset to where we embrace it. That it's not something that will hinder us from doing what we're supposed to do because we anticipate the very unpleasant reaction that people might have or where it puts us in terms of our relationships with other people. We have to embrace it because it's what Jesus went through. It's how He lived His life. There was never a time when Jesus hesitated to do right, to speak what is right, because He didn't want to have to deal with the consequences of doing God's will, His Father's will. He did it all the way to the point where it cost Him His life. He did it from the very beginning of His ministry to the very end of His ministry, prior to that as well. That's how He lived. We see in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 some words from the Apostle Paul that relate to this idea. As he writes to the church there, beginning at verse 9, Paul says, "For I think that God has displayed us, the apostles, last, as men condemned to death. For we have been made, notice, a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are distinguished, but we are dishonored. To the present hour, we both hunger and thirst. We are poorly clothed and beaten and homeless. And we labor, working with our own hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we endure. Being defamed, we entreat. We have been made as the filth of the world, the offscouring of all things until now." This shows us a picture of what was happening to righteous men. God-fearing, diligent, faithful servants of God were treated this way. This is the expectation of Christians. This is going to happen to you, to me, if we live faithfully. How easy is it to be at school, to be at work, and to do what's right? Talk like God wants you to talk, to not have anything to do with the dirty jokes, to not be doing it as others do with their behavior, with the kind of things that they listen to, the kind of things that they watch, the kind of ways that they dress. You're different. You stand out. How easy is that? It's not easy. Because you have to stand for what is right and good and proper, despite what others say, most often behind your back, and what you'll hear about. But even if they were to say it to your face, to suffer is actually something we should view as a good thing. To be hated, something we should rejoice in. The Bible gives us a word of warning. In fact, these words come from Jesus Himself in Luke 6, verse 26. "Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets." The word that we are supposed to be speaking pricks the hearts of people. So when we communicate the truth, and I'm talking about communicating it like Jesus did, with love and concern for people, not with hatred, not with a bad attitude, not with a disposition of superiority, but with genuine concern and love, sincerity, goodwill toward people, when you do it even that way, the Word of God is going to prick hearts. You will have reactions that will produce what we're talking about. People will no longer speak well of you. But when everything's going good and there are no problems, and everyone says how wonderful you are, then he says, be careful. Watch out, because that's a sign of something, and it's not good. Paul, the apostle, didn't have that problem. He didn't have the problem of everybody speaking good about him. And the reason was because he was actively, at every occasion that he had, and wherever he went, he was doing God's will, which means he was speaking the truth, he was living the truth, and he was warning people. He was actively involved in the lives of his brethren. The letters that he wrote were epistles that exposed sin in their lives, but at the same time he was showing them the way that they could get it right and how to be right with God. And all that he did because he loved them. The word of warning that we're given in Luke 26, we also know that God gives us a word about suffering. And we just read 1 Corinthians 4, verses 9 to 13. We will face opposition. We will be fools for Christ's sake. But our response has to be Christ-like. When people hate you, when they speak evil of you, you cannot become furious. You cannot let your temper just, explode. But rather, like Paul says, when you're reviled, what do? You bless. When you suffer that persecution, you endure, you keep on going on, you don't give up. When people defame you, what do? You entreat, that is, you plead with. You don't do the same in return. You plead with them to do what's right, to listen to the words you're speaking. If you're speaking from God, then you are speaking words of authority, and you plead with people because they must do what's right because their souls are at stake. And they may in the process speak evil of you, but you still entreat them, plead with them, and understand that suffering is a part of that life. Lewis Mumford once said, a certain amount of opposition is of great help to a man. Kites rise against, not with, the wind. It just carries the idea that, and it's true, there is often much to be gained when you suffer. Character is built. Endurance, perseverance, strengthened in the life of an individual. Good things happen when we suffer, which is one of the reasons God allows us to suffer. But not only do we in the Scriptures see a word of warning about suffering, but we also get a word of encouragement, as Jesus expresses in Matthew chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. He says to us, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. We live in a society that is unfortunately all about political correctness. You've got to say the right thing. You don't dare say the wrong thing. If you do, you're going to be labeled with all the different labels that are out there. You will be despised. You'll be hated if you stand for what is right. If you oppose abortion, homosexuality, immorality, all the different things in our culture that God is opposed to, if you stand for that, then you will be an outcast. You will be, as Paul says, the filth of the world and the offscouring as well. But the Lord says to you, don't let that sway you. Don't let it silence your mouth. Don't let it change your behavior. Do what is right no matter what. Because, he says, even though you may suffer, and nobody likes to suffer, even though you may be mocked and ridiculed and scorned, and nobody likes that, he says, here's what I want you to do. Understand that you are blessed. Blessed by God. when you suffer for doing right. Understand that you should rejoice. In fact, he says, be exceedingly, exceedingly glad when these things happen. And the reason is because this is the very thing they did to righteous men long, long ago. Men that were killed, but men who find themselves now in the paradise of God. Men who are awaiting the judgment. Men who will receive an eternal reward. And that's what awaits those who in this life are willing to go through all that garbage that men will do to righteous people when you do what is right. Instead, have the mindset that God wants you to have and see it for what it is. It's something you can be happy in. In fact, when the apostles were beaten and when they were hated, the Bible tells us that they went on their way rejoicing. They were able to suffer shame for His name. See, in Christ we can have a perspective that the world can't understand. But we know, in the end, we'll be blessed if we do what is right, if we are faithful to the Lord. And so, we might be, in fact, we must be, spectacles to the world. When you live right, that's how it turns out. But understand what awaits you. And that God will one day say to you, well done, good and faithful servant. So we persevere and move forward. And in all things, we live faithfully before God. Tonight, if you're not a Christian, something needs to be done about the sin that is in your life. Because until we turn to God, sin remains with our souls. But we can be forgiven and washed clean through the blood of Jesus Christ. We must believe that He's God's Son, turn away from sin and repentance, acknowledge that faith, and be immersed, baptized, so that our sins can be washed away, and then live faithfully. That involves continued learning. That involves continued humility. That involves continued confession. But it's the life that leads to the greatest reward that will ever be given. If you need to come to Him tonight or return to Him, we invite you to do that as we stand and sing.